Good evening, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So good to catch up again after a while. It's been a while since our last meeting, and it's such a joy to be with each and every one of us again today. So welcome, welcome, William. Welcome, Beula. Welcome, Damilare, Ifeanyi, Damola, Sister Ruth, Praise, Sammy, Sister Blessing, etc., etc. You're all very welcome, and welcome to those who are able to also join us via Facebook. As we should have seen in the flyer for tonight's event, we're starting, as it were, a new series, and it's titled The Prayer Practice. The Prayer Practice is going to be four meetings of dwelling on the timeless subject of prayer that is very ever so precious to us as Christians. But before we get into all of that, we would pray and then we will get started. We have quite a lot of ground to cover, so I want us to make the most of the time that we have together at the same time. We are hoping to have some interaction, probably even try out breakout sessions to have some very few minutes of discussion in smaller groups where we can feel a bit more comfortable. But let's commit it all into God's hands. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for Himas Youth Fellowship. We thank you for the Apostolic Church in Liverpool. We thank you for this community. We thank you for the possibility of such a platform that connects us irrespective of our location together like this. We thank you for Right Now Media and the precious resources that they continue to produce and make available and accessible to the end that we may be edified. We thank you for each of our stories here present, and we are acknowledging you to be the grandmaster behind it all. Here we are, O God, tonight, committing our time together into your hands. We believe that we are gathered in your presence, and so we're trusting that you speak to us. We're trusting that you will minister to our hearts. We're trusting that you will help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that you would have free course to do that which you want to do here tonight in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and we bless you. For in Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen, amen, amen. Now is a good time if you want to let one of your friends or your group of friends know about this. Now is a good time to share the word with them. Let them know, especially now that we're just starting, as it were, a journey, and one that I think is very fundamental and at the same time very, very important for the season that most of us are in. Prayer is the one thing that it's more or less the lifeline for every genuine believer. And as pervasive as it is, as widely practiced as it is, I think it's one of those things that we also tend to fundamentally misunderstand or misapply or mispractice, as the case may be. And for most of our meetings for this year, we are trusting that God will help us around, you know, all of these kind of spiritual disciplines that form us, that deepen our faith, that helps us to know God better and to serve Him in more fruitful, more glorious ways in that sense. So we are all welcome to that journey. We are all welcome to that experience. Normally, we will spend some few minutes kind of breaking the ice and getting to know one another, etc., etc. But tonight, I think we'll just dive in. The way the resource we're going to be engaging with has been structured, I think it does give some room for quite some interaction. And some of that interaction will happen for us together like this. And then at least at one point, I would try and experiment with the possibility of putting us in two, three breakout rooms to discuss one or two questions that may come up as well. So that's just some ground introductory material, so to speak. I think I'll just introduce us basically to the series, and then would hear some opening words as well from the resource material itself. By the way, like I said, we are starting prayer, the practice of prayer. And this is put together by John Macoma and his team. For those of us that have been here for a while, been part of this community for a while, sometimes last year, I believe, or the year before, we went through a series that we titled Everyone is Busy. And the resource we were engaging with then was titled The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. So John Macoma was the one that wrote that book, and his videos were the ones we engaged with back then. And what I think he's gone on to do, especially in his new ministry context and all that, was to then take some of those things from that book, Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and actually dig deeper into them, if you will, and structure them in a way that you can zoom into those things to the end that we can grow deeper in our faith. And one of those areas has to do with prayer. And so we're going to journey through that over the next few meetings to get that. All right. So the first week is subtitled Talking to God. And then the next time we meet, we'll be looking at talking with God. And then in the fourth or third week, we'll be looking at listening to God. And then the last week, we'll be looking at being with God. So those are the four dimensions that we want to approach this very precious subject from. I would see which parts we can. The resource material is like 30 minutes long that we want to try and go through, hence why we want to just go straight into it and then have some discussion at the end. But again, also we'll be pausing at every now and then to, to engage with one another, as I have said. So what I will do next is just to share my screen and we can start out with the series as it is here. All right, so hopefully you'll be able to hear the sound and see the screen. Thankfully, it's on YouTube, so I can share the link later on in the chat thread as well for those that might want to catch up after now. Okay.
Welcome to Practicing the Way. Before you get started, here are three ways to enhance your experience. First, this practice is designed to be done in community. And at practicingtheway.org, you'll find a companion guide and more tools to make this easy to run in a group. Secondly, the best way to start is by taking the Spiritual Health Reflection, a tool to guide you into a deeper layer of self-awareness around your spiritual formation. Finally, we've created a Rule of Life Builder, a digital aid to crafting your first rule in an easy-to-use template. All these resources and more are available for free at practicingtheway.org. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the prayer practice. I'm John Mark.
I'm Christian.
And I'm Yinka. And we're here to serve as your guides in a deepening life of prayer.
You may have come on this practice because you're new to following Jesus and learning to pray for the very first time.
Or you may be at a stage in your apprenticeship to Jesus where you desire not just to learn about God, but to experience God.
Or you may just find prayer boring or tedious and you're curious what the deal even is.
Wherever you are and wherever you come from, you are welcome.
To start, in the Library of Scripture, prayer is an umbrella term for all sorts of different types of interactions with God. But at its most basic, prayer is simply the medium through which we communicate and commune with God. In that sense, prayer isn't a practice at all, because all the practices or spiritual disciplines are a means to an end. Prayer, or life with God, is the end. The practice of prayer is learning to set aside dedicated time to intentionally be with God in order to become like Him and partner with Him to do what He's called us to do in the world.
The practice of prayer is to life with God what our weekly date night is to our marriage. We live together 7 days a week, but most Monday nights we go on a date, just the two of us, to talk, sort things out, make eye contact, and just be together. We set aside focused time together to deepen our love all week long.
In the same way, the practice of prayer is learning to set aside special moments to commune and communicate with God. But the end goal is to deepen your connection with God all the time.
So, our hope for this practice isn't that you just learn a theology of prayer or experiment with a new type of prayer, but that you would walk closer to God in your daily life.
Over the next four sessions, the plan is to explore four stages of prayer: talking to God,
talking with God,
listening to God,
and being with God. When you are first learning to pray, there is a bit of a progression from one stage to the next. But the spiritual journey is not a linear progression, and you never mature beyond any dimension of prayer. The spiritual journey is less like a straight line and more like an ever-tightening spiral that we circle around over and over throughout our years. And the farther you go in the spiritual journey, the more all four types of prayer bleed together, and it's all just life with God.
So you can think of these four types of prayer as stages in the spiritual journey, or as layers by which we deepen our surrender to life with God. That said, up ahead for session one is talking to God.
But before we get to the teaching, we think it's important to name where we're each at. We start every session with triads to create space for honest reflection. So pause the film, circle up with three or so people, and let's begin with a conversation about the coming practice.
Here are a few questions to get you started. The first, what emotions does the word prayer elicit in your heart? Desire, guilt, burnout, joy? A second, what challenges do you face in prayer? Busyness, distraction, doubt? And the third, what invitation do you sense from God to go deeper in prayer?
I intentionally wanted to leave those three questions on the screen because I also wanted us to discuss those and maybe to facilitate that, I would try out putting us in breakout rooms for just about 3 minutes, and it would just be about a couple of you in each room, so it's an opportunity to get to probably meet someone you haven't met before. But basically for us to just reflect on those three questions, like what emotions do you comes up when you think about the word prayer? And then what are your own current honest challenges about prayer? And then what invitation do you sense from God to go deeper in prayer? Okay, so on your devices, you will probably get a notification asking you to join a breakout room. Just go into that room, discuss for about 3-4 minutes. You get the notification when it's like 1 minute to go, and then everybody will be back here and we'll be able to talk. And for those who are not able to join any room for whatever reason, we'll have our own discussion right here. For those watching online, on Facebook or whatever, you can respond in the chat thread with comments about how you would answer those questions. So let's try this and see how that goes. All right, okay. So for the sake of those watching online or those that are unable to join any group, I would just reflect out loud on those three questions. And if you have any thoughts to share as well that you're able to type, or you really want to also unmute and share, feel free to do just that. Prayer is a big deal. I grew up in a Pentecostal tradition, which I'm still part of till today. And growing up in Nigeria, prayer was like, it's just everywhere. It's how we wake up every morning, it's how we go to bed at night in terms of like family prayer meetings. And then in terms of our church and church life, prayer meetings was like every single day. My parents would go to morning prayers 5:30 a.m. every morning, and they still do till today. And then there is evening prayer every single day. Of course, there are times that there will be what we call revivals, which is still more or less another kind of prayer meeting where most of the prayers are targeted at one thing or the other. And that would happen sometimes for 3 days, sometimes for 7 days, a week-long revival, and things like that. So prayer was just like everywhere, especially in the congregational setting. But what that then does, or what does that has done in my heart over the years, besides normalizing prayers, it's just what Christians do. In terms of honing it personally, I think it's a bit of highs and lows for me personally. So some of those contexts that I'm reflecting on and remembering, especially in my very early formative years, the way we talk to God, the language we use, the choice of words, the way the passion that comes into the prayer, and how it seems as though it has to be done this certain way for you to really get results, kind of gave me a few mixed emotions about prayer. So it's this very difficult task. And then when it's evening prayer and my dad is ringing the bell that signifies to everyone wherever you are in the house that it's time to pray, I'm like, okay, it's time for that lengthy thing that probably would take another, it's like a task. As much as it's almost unavoidable, it still felt pretty much like a task. Even to some extent, still today, there are lingering vestiges of that feeling. So for me, part of the emotions that come is. But of course, with greater understanding, as I began to especially hone my walk with God personally and hone my relationship with God, that's still on a journey, and it's still metamorphizing, and it's still changing, it's still being transformed. But yeah, there have been moments when prayer has been super enjoyable for me, and there are still moments where, okay, we just have to do it. Let's just get it done. And then there are countless other moments where I don't even know that I've done it because it's literally just the life that I now live, in which case, a short whisper to God, or sometimes even a thought, and sometimes, that intentional interruption of your rhythm of the day to just really, really like, God, we need to talk. Et cetera, et cetera. So for me, it's a whole lot of emotions, some of them coming from way back and with a bit of, negative connotations, and some of them seasons and moments of pure bliss. The challenges I face now is, consistency, and I think personally the issue of navigating expectation, especially when you're in a congregational setting and people are expecting that you should pray in a certain way. And it's not you, like that's just not your style. And you are expected to still carry people along. And so that's part of, the challenge that I personally face. And then what invitation do you sense from God to go deeper in prayer? The same one I think every one of us is sensing, that God is ever so inviting us into deeper depths in our relationship with Him. I'll pause there. If there is, and I think one or two people joined us while we were doing that. For those that just joined, others are in the breakouts, in different breakout rooms. That's why it feels like just a few of us are here, but they'll be joining us in less than a minute, because the breakout room is closing. Sister Beulah, I can see a message now. I can add you back, but you'll be back in a few seconds, or you might as well stay here. But let me see if I can add you back. Oh no, it wouldn't allow me because now I've already shut down the other group. So sorry about that. Yeah, would wait and hear one or two feedback from the others when they are back in 25 seconds, and see what other thoughts stand out before we take the conversation deeper and further about prayer. Okay, Sister Blessing, feel free to speak, yeah?
Thank you so much, sir, for this wonderful topic. It's something that most times I tend to ponder upon. And what comes to my mind, the emotion that comes to my mind when we talk about prayer is hope, like expectation that whatever you ask for, granted. So the challenges I've had so far about with this, seeing that I came from a church that is Orthodox, and in Orthodox we don't really see much of miracles or somebody wants to wake up from the dead. You know, like the recent Pentecostal churches that we have now, where we see mouth jaw-breaking miracles, and you're like, wow, what God cannot do does not exist, and you know, those kind of things. So there is just like, we take it as it goes. And then I think I remember having challenges of, yes, God does answer prayer, but I think he just does it at the time. Like whenever he feels, he deems his feet perfect. And on the contrary, we have it these days where we see people pray and answer comes instantly. The challenge I have now and then has been that I just keep asking that what's the difference? Like, why take so long for something that can be done now? Why do it now? What can be done later? And why does it seem sometimes that you pray and it's like you just keep the prayer point in the storeroom and then you wait for decades to get the feedback?
Yeah.
I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but it's been a feeling I've had around prayer, especially coming from Orthodox Church. So, but until I grew up and, you know, I left where I grew up and I got exposed to the fact, and I've also witnessed it myself, that prayers does answer like immediately, instantly if you want it. And also I reaped the reward of the stored up prayers, like I said, when you see that you have prayed for things in the past, and you just see the manifestations and the answers to those prayers later on, and you see them. Even when you haven't even opened your mouth to pray, you see that God has gone it ahead of you.
Yeah.
And you're, oh, God is wonderful. So I don't know if what I'm saying makes sense, but I just feel we should have a discussion around that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I can really get what you're describing. But in terms of, you know, the challenge around timing with God's responses, you know, on the one hand, we've seen him do things instantaneously. The other hand, we've seen him take what you would imagine that we've been praying in faith. Why hasn't it happened? So I totally get that. And then the differences in the traditions in which we've been raised. For those in that were not in any breakout room, so for those on the main room, I was also sharing my own traditional context as well, and the influence that has had on prayer for me. But we are all back, so welcome back to everyone. And I'm just wondering if there are any very quick catch-ups we could get, like highlights from your discussion in your room. I should have said that's why you were going into the breakout room, that you should appoint someone that will give us a few seconds feedback on what you discussed in your room. But I'll just throw it open generally. If there's anyone that feels comfortable to share something that stands out from your breakout session on those three questions, can go ahead and share, or I'll call names. Yep. It's the roots when you lay it, because you laughed out loud. Maybe the other is saying something.
Well, actually, I couldn't recall all the three questions, but we talked generally about prayer. So how deep you can, you know, go in prayer with God. So I talked about my own opinion, my own view.
Yeah.
I said about, like, there are times that, you know, when I go very deep in prayer, and I mean it, like I really mean it, and I really want to, you know, pray to God. God always answer my prayer. So, and there are times that, and you know, when I feel like that, so sometimes I feel lazy because I won't. I actually, you know, I was open to them because I really don't pray like that. And I don't know why, because I know that if I go deep in prayer, God actually answer my prayer. So I just felt that maybe I always find this excuse like, okay, I'm busy, I have stuff that I'm doing, I don't have time. But actually, it's not enough excuse. So I told my people that, as in my colleagues, the team, that, you know, when you actually read the word, it's actually giving inspirations at times, you know, to pray to God. And it's not only in your quiet times to pray. It's not only when you feel that you have problems to pray. You can just, you know, pray, because the Bible says you pray without ceasing. So you pray and you feel, you really have to, you know, go deep in it when you pray at times. And you feel the inspiration. You know that God, when you talk to God, when you pray, you know that, yes, God is with you. And it's really going to, it's going to answer your prayer. So that was my plan. My the other team also said his own opinion about, you know, about conceptions, you know, that you also, when you pray, it's about you having conceptions and, you know, all that. So we also talk about, you know, like, you, as if you are gisting with God, as if you're having a communication with God. So that was what we actually talked about.
That's good. That's a good recap from your room. That's great. Any other person wants to share from their room, or your thoughts, what you shared in your room that you want to echo in this bigger room, and let's learn from you. Thank you, Damola. I know that the way you leaned into the system is for you to unmute. Oh no, it's to put off our camera.
Actually, it was to unmute, but then I was gonna refer to. So it's the first question. It was just I and Dari.
Okay.
And I'm Dari in the. Yeah. So, anyways, the very first about what emotions, come up. I elicited in place of prayer and all that, and then he mentioned curiosity. He mentioned joy. He mentioned bunch of other, it was a mix of emotions anyways. So, but then the one that really stood out for me is curiosity. Like, okay, curiosity. I mean, I shared how for me it's like, it's a mix of excitement and frustration. But yeah, he mentioning curiosity, I'm like, okay. And then I started thinking to myself, okay, am I really curious in the place of prayer? So, okay, whether I'm coming with excitement or coming with frustration, I feel like curiosity is something that should also be there. Like, okay, what do I think God wants to change in my mind that during this period, in this particular moment of prayer, whatever, like, what is he trying to, or, and because it also brings about being sensitive. Yeah. As a sensitive person, it makes you more sensitive, more observant. Yeah, so for me it's like, okay, am I really very sensitive, am I really observant? And so yeah, I think it's a good food for thought for me.
Thank you, that's really helpful. I'm looking at the time, because like I said, the resource material is quite lengthy, and I want us to take as much of the content as possible. Of course, it's not so much about the content, it's about how we begin to distill the content through conversations like this. So we're going to try and go on to listen to what you could, you know, the exposition, as it were, from the lead facilitator in the resource material we're engaging with. A few of us have joined after we started. So just a couple of statements, so to speak, to recap what we've been doing. We are in a new series that is tied to the practice of prayer. I've just returned from a breakout session where we were reflecting on three questions that the material we're engaging with has asked us to ponder. What emotions comes up when you hear prayer? And what challenges do you personally face when it comes to prayer? And thirdly, what invitation are you sensing from God to go deeper in prayer? And we've been thinking and, you know, pondering all of that. So interesting feedback so far. I also shared some thoughts for those that were not able to go into any breakout room. And if there is time, I would go back to double click on some of those. But this is a subject I've also been really thinking about lately. And especially from the perspective of, you know, both the duality of doing this as an individual, how this should be our lifestyle, and then when we also do this in congregational settings, when you're with other people, and you're doing that together. So we would pause there. Something has come up in our feedback. I love the idea of curiosity so much. And curiosity not just only in the sense of, you know, what's God up to do in this thing that I'm doing that I'm calling prayer, but also generally curiosity about prayer, because it's something I think we'll continue to have to keep learning about. As we do it, we understand different nuances to it by experience, by practice. And that's why this series has been called The Prayer Practice. So I love that ever so much. But I've also kind of picked on this unamplified assumption around, you know, prayer has to do with you ask God and he responds, he does it, whether that is whatever you're asking him for, and then he does it, or maybe he does it later, as the case may be. But those are some of the issues that will be touched on as we engage further in the resource. So I'm just going to play the video, maybe move a bit further along, and then dive on into the rest of it. So I'm going to share my screen again. I'm going to share my sound as well. And let's listen. When we come back, the chief question we're going to be wrestling with is, what has stood out to you? So if anything is standing out to you as you're listening and engaging with the video, do well to jot it down before you forget. Write it down somewhere or note it down one way or the other, so that when we come back together to reflect, we have an interesting conversation together. So here's the rest of the clip, basically.
Growing up, my mother was a first-generation follower of Jesus. When I was born, she was still learning how to pray. And when I was just a few years old, she was diagnosed with a rare autoimmune disorder and began to go deaf. The pain of her loss was her portal from a superficial Christian spirituality to a deeper life with God. As her hearing was fading day by day, she began to rise early in the morning to pray. And I just remember as a kid, no matter what time I got up, there she was, sitting in the armchair by the window, alone, in the quiet, in prayer. At the time, daily prayer for me was a duty, and honestly a bit of a drag. But it was clear to my young mind that she was experiencing something in prayer that I was not. For her, prayer was not a duty at all, but a delight. It was not until many years later, when I went through my own season of pain and loss, that I discovered the joy of prayer. But let's face it, for many of us, prayer is still a duty. We're all so busy, it's hard to find the time to pray, and if and when we do, it can be boring, and it's hard to focus. We get distracted by all the things on our to-do list, or as the spiritual writer Robert Mulholland once said, we just spend our time worrying in God's general direction. It can feel like talking to yourself or reading a Christmas list to the Santa in the sky. So we make excuses. I have young kids, or I have to go to work, or I'm an active personality, or whatever. And we feel the tinge of guilt, I should pray more. Then we just pick up our phone and go about our day. Let me normalize this for you. We live in one of the most difficult times in all of human history to pray. The smartphone alone is a death blow to prayer for our entire generation. Not to mention social media, the internet, digital streaming, entertainment, noise pollution, urbanization, secularization, and Saturday morning soccer with the kids. My point is, if you struggle to pray, you are not alone. As St. Teresa of Avila used to say, when it comes to prayer, we're all beginners. And yet, prayer is the portal to life with God, the life we all crave in the deepest part of our being, whether we identify it as a desire for God or misidentify it as a desire for something else. Thankfully, Jesus was full of wisdom on prayer. On that note, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Many people are beginning to read scripture on their phones, and that's just fine, but we recommend you carry a hard copy Bible with you to each session and follow along. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Pause right there for a minute. We are dropping into the middle of a much larger story, and in the literary design of Luke's biography of Jesus, this is a running theme. In chapter 5, Luke writes, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In Luke 6, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Or in Luke 9, Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. Here he is again in Luke 11, praying. Keep reading. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. This is a fascinating request. Jesus did all sorts of amazing things, but the disciples do not ask Jesus to teach them how to heal the sick, or how to cast out demons, or perform miracles, or even teach and preach. They ask him to teach them how to pray. My theory is, it's because living with Jesus 24/7, watching his daily prayer rhythm and getting the behind-the-scenes view of his life, they realized that Jesus' extraordinary outer life with people was the byproduct of his even more extraordinary inner life with God. They were smart enough to intuit that, just like me and my mother, Jesus was experiencing something in prayer that they were not. Prayer for Jesus was not a duty, but a delight. He seemed to really enjoy his Father's company. In prayer, it's like Jesus was drinking from a deep well, and they wanted a taste of the water. So, right now, right where you are, I invite you to take a moment and make the disciples' prayer your own. Lord, teach us to pray. And if you're ready to apprentice under Rabbi Jesus and become a student in his school of prayer, pay close attention to what Jesus teaches his disciples to pray and how Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. A short word on each. First off, what Jesus teaches. He said to them in verse 2, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Protestants call this the Lord's Prayer, and Catholics the Our Father. And it's not just a liturgy or a pre-made prayer, it's also a theology or a theological orientation for prayer. It's a way of coming before God. A lot of people equate prayer with asking God to do things, but while asking is a key part of prayer, there's so much more to prayer. Notice, Jesus does not ask our Father for anything until midway through the prayer. The entire first half is orientation. Let me point out four theological truths from the Lord's Prayer that are Jesus' framework for all prayer. For Jesus, first off, God is our Father. Line 1, our Father. Or in Aramaic, Jesus' mother tongue, Abba. What a child would call their dad. In Jesus' day, that was a revolutionary way to address God. The New Testament scholar Joachim Jeremias writes, there is not a single example of the use of Abba as an address to God in the whole of Jewish literature. Yet it was Jesus' go-to name for God. He thought of God as his Father, and he taught his apprentices to do the same. I know this is really hard for some of you due to difficult relationships with your human fathers. But for Jesus, what comes to mind when you think about God will make or break your prayer life. My friend John Tyson from Pray New York City put it this way, unless you break the stronghold of false images of God in your mind, you'll never be drawn to prayer. For many of us, our journey into a deeper life of prayer must begin with the healing of our false images of who God is. If you think of God as an angry tyrant in the sky, mad at the world, waiting to just lay into you and lecture you with his disappointment, or as the cosmic life coach there to make you happy but who doesn't seem to deliver, you will not be drawn to prayer. But If you think of God as your father, that's a whole other story. When I get home from work, my kids don't grovel at my feet and say, Pastor Comer, welcome. They run up and give me a hug and immediately start telling me about their day or asking me for things. Can we go see a movie? Can we eat ice cream? Can we whatever? Because they know for all of my shortcomings as a dad, and there are many, I have a welcoming heart and good intentions toward them. The first thing Jesus has to teach us about prayer is that the God we come before has a welcoming heart of goodwill toward us. The primary emotional word used for God in both the Old and New Testaments is compassionate. And in Hebrew, it's referring to the feeling that a father, or more specifically, a mother, has toward their infant child. That is God's baseline emotional disposition toward you. Compassion, delight, tender care. He's our Father. Secondly, for Jesus, God is as close as the air. Line 2, our Father goes on in heaven. Read the footnote in your Bible and you'll read that while most copies we have of Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer are shorter, some ancient manuscripts add on the full version of the Lord's Prayer found in the other Gospels, in heaven. Now, heaven is a tricky word because in English, when most people read heaven, they think of a place that you go when you die. But while there's truth in that, in Greek, the word is ouranos. It's actually plural, the heavens. More literally, it just means the air or the atmosphere. Hear it this way, our Father in the air. Think about that. The air is all around you, up against your skin, inside your body. It's in your blood. That's how close the availability of God's presence is. Jesus is teaching his apprentices that when we come to our Father in prayer, he's not far away in outer space, but closer to us than we are to ourselves. Third, for Jesus, the primary goal of prayer is the worshipful enjoyment of our Father's company. The next line is, "Hallowed be your name." That's another tricky word to translate into English. Basically, to hallow means to revere and respect the holiness of God. And to be holy means to be unique and special and beautiful. To say God is holy is to say there is no other being in all the cosmos more radiant than he. The Presbyterian Timothy Keller, in his book Prayer, writes, "To hallow God's name is to have a heart of grateful joy toward God, and even more, a wondrous sense of his beauty." When you begin to pray, to commune with God, and you begin to enter into the inner life of the Father and the Son and the Spirit and share in their love and joy and peace, you realize they radiate beauty. And as you are caught up in and enveloped into the beauty of God, you can't help but desire for others around you to see God for who he really is. The Anglican theologian N.T. Wright translates, "Hallowed be your name," this way. May you be worshiped by your whole creation. May the whole cosmos resound with your praise. May the whole world be freed from injustice, disfigurement, sin, and death. Here is Jesus in loving worship of his Father. Think about how different Jesus' approach to prayer is from our own. Often we come to God to get things from God that we feel we need to be happy. This is one of the reasons we tend to pray mostly when our career or relationships or life circumstances are under threat. And that's fine, but it's also a gentle sign from our own heart that for most of us, we are still searching for happiness outside of God. God himself has yet to become our happiness. But for Jesus, the first goal of prayer is just to enter into the beauty of God. And when you do that, you can't help but desire the world around you to experience his beauty. Finally, for Jesus, our prayers really do make a difference. Jesus' next line is, "Your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Notice Jesus assumes that his kingdom has not yet come and that his will is not yet done. In part, yes, but not in full. And he assumes that through prayer, we partner with him to bend reality in the direction of our Father's wisdom and good intentions. That through prayer, we drag the future age of the kingdom of God into this age. Now, much more could be said about the Lord's Prayer, but for right now, think of how different this is from how many of us approach God. One, we think of God as a grumpy dictator or a cosmic vending machine, not as our Father. Two, we think he's far away in outer space, not as close as the air. Three, we think the main point of prayer is to get things from God, what Mulholland called symptom management, not to delight in God himself. And four, we assume that what's going to happen is going to happen with or without our prayers, not that prayer really makes a difference. No wonder we avoid prayer. So, that's what Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. But that can sound a bit overwhelming, right? I mean, where do we even start? Well, next, look at how Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. He does not start by teaching them to say whatever is on their mind. Nothing wrong with that at all, but he starts by saying, "When you pray, say." The New Testament scholar Scott McKnight argues that verse 2 can be translated, "Whenever you pray, recite this." Jesus is tapping into the first century Hebrew custom of praying memorized or pre-made prayers. This is what we mean by talking to God, praying pre-made prayers that someone else, in this case Jesus himself, created for followers of Jesus across the world and down through history to pray. Let me give you a few examples of pre-made prayers. The Lord's Prayer is the most famous in the New Testament. It was prayed 3 times a day by the first Christians and still is by the monastic orders. Second, the Psalms, which are called the prayer book of the Bible, because most of them were designed not to be read, but to be prayed. Third, Scripture itself. Many people find great life in praying Scripture back to God, calling on God to fulfill his promises. Four, singing. There's a power in prayer that is set to music. St. Augustine famously said, "To sing is to pray twice." We don't think of modern worship music as liturgical, but it is. It's a pre-written prayer that we are all praying together to God. But there's also, fifth, formal liturgy in more historic streams of the church, like the Book of Common Prayer or the Liturgy of the Hours. And six, in today's world, we have apps on our phone that guide you through prayer as you drive to work or walk your dog in the park. These are all examples of talking to God with pre-made prayers. This type of prayer is very helpful in a number of situations. When you're first learning to pray, think of how children learn to write by tracing letters and then words on a page before they write on their own. This is how God wired the brain to grow, by copying and imitation. And this is a great way to learn how to pray. Or when you're traveling and away from your daily prayer rhythm, you're on an airplane or in a hotel room or in the back of a car and you don't have the habit cues of your home life. Or when you're exhausted and can't focus your mind very well because you have a newborn, or you didn't sleep well the night before, or you're in a demanding season of school or work or caregiving. When you're emotionally or physically unwell. When you long for greater articulation in your prayer and you're searching for the right words to express your heart to God. Or when you're in what St. John of the Cross called the dark night of the soul, a season where you don't feel God's presence like you used to. In these situations and more, this can be a really helpful way to pray. Now, there are limitations to this type of prayer. It can feel impersonal or inauthentic or intellectual. It's very important with pre-made prayer in particular that we slow down and bring our heart's intention to the prayer, lest it become rote. But if we open our heart to God in this way, we tap into a quiet power that is running underneath the surface of the kingdom of God.
Okay, so apologies for that break in transmission. I was saying that we would just actually pause there. I think we've taken in enough to have something to discuss with, and I'm also looking at the time, for us to reflect on what has stood out to us from what we've heard so far. So if you would like to share, the question is, what stood out to you? So if you'd like to share, feel free to unmute yourself and then let's interact together. I did take some notes as well. And our youngest son came and joined while I was trying to listen attentively. And he also took some notes on the same tablet I was using. So if there is time, I would share his own notes as well with us. But yeah, who wants to bail the cat? There is no cat, but who wants to go first? What stood out to you from what you've heard? What have you heard that you're hearing it in a new way, but you've always known it, or something that is actually totally new to you, or something that is you've always known it, but now you can hear it articulated in a way that really does make sense. Et cetera, et cetera. What the Spirit of God is saying to you about what you're hearing and things like that. So
By the time he had his personal issues, he had something he could make reference to, not just from the scriptures. Yes, the scriptures are very instructional, but he remembered that, oh, my mom used to do this, so there's something about this. So so it also brings to me that the habit I form, I should be more intentional about prayer and to make it a part of my life. We can't overemphasize what the smartphone is doing to my generation in terms of prayer, but there comes a time when you are left alone. Like even you won't even want to go online, or you won't even want to touch your phone. Just know that you need to deal with this. Prayer comes in very handy, and most importantly, I understand the communion part of prayer from what is said. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Really interesting thoughts. Many of which resonated with me as well. Thank you. Any other thoughts? Okay, let me just take the ones I can see on the chat
Oh,
first. Sorry,
sorry,
I'm still
I.
in a minute. Oh, you can go on. I'll read the chat afterwards. Just go on.
Actually, it's a question
All
to the
right.
clip. Yeah, I want to ask a question.
Yeah.
Okay. As regards the Lord's Prayer I mentioned, I actually want to, because when the disciple asked the Lord that he should teach them how to pray, and he said, okay, tell them about our Father who art in heaven, like that. So I'm just assuming or presuming, like maybe Jesus is here with us, like if he was here with us, maybe so many people would have asked him again. Because there are so many people that are amazed that they don't even know what to pray about or how to pray again. So, like, I'm sure if Jesus was there with us, I mean, he's here with us today, I'm sure so many people would have that thought that, ah, Jesus, please, I want to know how to pray. Can you teach us how to pray aside from our Father who are in heaven? So the question now is, can we, is it like a basis for us to use that to pray? Or because at times we don't even know what to pray, we don't know what to tell God. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So is it the Lord is my shepherd or our Father? Because that is the question.
And a very interesting, sincere one for that matter. Of course, to begin by echoing the things that the man said, okay, Sister Praise, maybe you want to share some thoughts on that. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Okay, I'm not sharing thoughts on the question. I just quickly wanted to share what stood out to me.
All
I
right.
had a bit of network issues at some point, but I the beginning part of the video where he was explaining the Lord's Prayer, where he mentioned the first two lines of the prayer, I talked about our Father who art in heaven, explaining from the, was it the Greek word or something, the heavens there was not necessarily a very far distance, explain about the air and things like that. But the one that really stood out to me was when he was explaining, "Hallowed be thy
My
name,"
name.
talking about when we hallow Jesus, like it brought a whole new perspective. Thy name to me before now we'd just be, oh, we're lifting God's name up, we're praising God's name and things like that. But it brought it to a new perspective, like you are the beauty of his holiness. Like he defined holiness in practically a way I've never heard it before. Oh, like just spending time just in awe of his beauty, basically. That really stood out to me.
Thank you. That's lovely. Thank you. On the chat thread, Sister Ruth, I'm coming back to your question. Sister YNK says prayer is like oxygen. We should engage in it frequently. Just the same point that Praise has just shared. Likewise, Inomidun Louis, or Lois, I don't know the correct pronunciation, says God is as close as the hair. And then she also asks, if God is as close as the hair, sometimes why does it take time before one feels God's presence? For example, maybe one will have to spend 30 minutes before you are ascending. And she adds a smile to that. And then to the question of Sister Ruth, Sister YNK is saying the Lord's Prayer was laid as a guide. And that's where I was going to come in as well to echo some of the things that John Makoma was saying in the clip we just saw. That on the one hand, we should see this as a template. A template is not necessarily that you repeat this thing verbatim, word for word, but a way to begin to understand how to approach this thing called prayer. And it tried to, you know, take us through some of those, the reasoning or the fundamental principles behind some of those words that we would say. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, it's also saying, actually, this is a prayer that you can recite. This is a prayer that you can pray like that, like verbatim, and say it as it's written in the Word of God. I mean, if you are from any of these Orthodox mainline church traditions, there's hardly any Sunday that you won't recite the Lord's Prayer. And you can do that personally. You can do that. In fact, he went on to zoom in onto some specific contexts and situations where it might actually make more sense to pray a prayer that is already made, what he called pre-made prayers, whether that is you praying the Lord's Prayer or that is you praying the Psalms, which is like the book of prayer in the Bible, or whether you are actually just praying scriptures, you know, lots of promises. Some people have collated what they call the Pauline prayers, so the different prayers that Apostle Paul prays in all of his epistles. There are lots and lots of promises in the Bible from the Old and the New Testament that you can begin to, you know, speak back to God. So in those cases, you are not necessarily forming anything new in your communication with your Father. You are using what has already been made in a manner of speaking. Or maybe you are coming from a tradition where you use liturgy, a book of common prayers. And in my church here, in our church here in Liverpool, we, before COVID, it used to be once a month when we come together with an Anglican church that actually houses or owns the facility where we meet, and worship together with them in the Anglican liturgy, where you read words from a paper or from the screen and all of that. And that can feel, I mean, it's a learning curve for very many of people, members in our own congregation, as it is a learning curve for them as well, doing life with people like us that can be very exuberant and excited, maybe when we lead the song in this joint service or we lead the prayers in this joint service. It's always a different feel. But having that intercultural, multicultural experience is one of my, personally, one of my highlights. And we still continue to do that once every other month now. But yes, in those kind of contexts, we read out prayers that had been written by some people. And the words can be very rich, really, if you would bring yourself down to really take it all in that sense. So whether it's that or you're following an harp and things like that, you know, there are times for that where you can just literally take this prayer and pray it. If your heart is in it, of course, the tendency is that when you do something repeatedly, especially when it's just like a recitation, it can easily lose its meaning and its efficacy and its purpose in that sense. But if you see this as it's not just a recitation, but it's something that I can actually bring my heart into, it, it's amazing how sometimes in praying the Lord's Prayer, for me personally, I get stopped at some points. Like I don't just recite it from the beginning to the end. There is a feel for a need to expatiate on something at some point of it, where the Spirit of God is like expounding that in the context of whatever I'm going through at the time. And that can be right at the very beginning in just pondering the word "Our Father," or "Who art in heaven," or "Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." That's one junction where I find myself pausing in it again and again. What's your will in all of this? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me today my daily bread. I mean, I need this stuff. I need that stuff. I need to meet this deadline. I need to meet that obligation. Give me the strength and the grace that I need for this moment. And then, you know, on and on. Like that. So it's both. It's one, a prayer that gives us at least an understanding of how to approach this whole thing called prayer. And on the other hand, it's actually one of the many possible types of pre-made prayers that we can really speak to God. And if we connect our hearts to it, it makes sense. And our Father gets it. He gets us any which way. So that would be my response to that. I'm wondering if there is still anyone that wants to share thoughts before we begin to land the conversation. I want us to wrap up in like 10 minutes. Okay, let me see if I can share my screen now and just share some of my jottings as well as we were discussing that. I was trying
to... Did we answer the question of Inumidon? About being close as the air.
Yes, good question. Yeah. And I'll welcome some thoughts on that as well. But the first thing that comes to mind is actually, I mean, going by the wording of your question, do we even feel the air? It's not, you don't feel the air every time. I mean, you don't know you're breathing, for example, until you have breathing difficulties. That's when you know. That's when you begin to sense, oh my God, I'm finding it difficult to breathe. Otherwise, you breathe without knowing you're breathing. We walk everywhere and there is air always blowing around us without us feeling it, except when there is a strong wind or there is, you know, a storm, or when we generally say the weather is windy, but that's not every time. Those are spontaneous, or sometimes maybe not spontaneous, like, you know, people that study weather and all that can forecast that this is going to happen at so and so time. I think in some ways it feels like that with God as well, that we get to a point where we understand it's not about the feeling. Whether you are feeling him or not, it doesn't change the fact that he's always there. And as long as he's always there, we can always have this conversation with our Father, bearing all of that in mind. But I don't know if someone has maybe a contrary thought, an additional thought, a different way of saying it that would even enrich that. I would be happy to hear that and learn as well in that regard. Otherwise, I would just share a few thoughts as well in terms of what I've gotten from this. So one of the statements that stuck to me was this phrase that we are all beginners. I can't remember who the writer was quoting when he said that, you know, that we are all, when it comes, as far as prayer is concerned, we are all beginners. You never get to a point where you outgrow any of those 4 points that he was talking about at the very beginning, you know, talking, whether it's talking to God, talking with God, listening to God, or being with God, it blurs into one another, and we never really outgrow any part of that. We are always in that process of developing it. But then I also love there was a quote he makes. I haven't written it down verbatim because I think this was the point where Samuel came in and was also trying to do stuff around there. It says, "What comes to mind about God when you pray will make or break your prayer." In other words, your perception of your Father. And I can personally relate with this as a very significant fundamental point, because in the tradition I grew up in and the way I've seen and witnessed prayer being done, especially in congregational settings, and the way we, you know, speak all of these words and do all of these things, the message that was going on in my very youngish mind was that God has to be, you know, you need to get it right for him to respond back. You need to show that you are passionate about this. You need to raise your voice, perhaps. You need to, you know, repeat Jesus's name for emphasis to show that you really, really, really do mean it, you know. And all of those things, why they can just merely be cultural, you know, expressions that finds its way into prayer, they can leave a lasting, you know, impression on us without us really knowing it about who God is. And it affects our theology of God in some ways that you begin to think, until I have done X, Y, Z, maybe God would absolutely not even bother. But I think as the man was making that point, I began to experience exactly what he was talking about, even as, you know, the video was playing and he was doing that. Samuel came and I was trying to tell him, I'm in a meeting, you know, this is a very important sacred moment. But the guy just climbed upon the apps, looked around my table and saw a box of Capri Sun, brought it up and started rummaging the box to find exactly the type that he wants, the flavor that he wants, and sat on my lap to say, please help me set this up. I don't care about what's going on in your world. I'm your son. I'm your child. You've got to attend to me. And I was beginning to see prayer from that sense of, this is how he sees me. He sees me as his father. He doesn't see me as Pastor Kolaola. He doesn't see me as Pastor Joseph. He just sees me as daddy. And as far as he's concerned, whatever daddy has got going on, I'm always daddy's boy. And as far as I'm daddy's boy, even if daddy is attending to the most important issue on earth, I can still sit on daddy's laps. I can still ask for Capri Sun. I can still struggle for the pen to also take note. I mean, I said I was going to show you what he was going to write. This is all he wrote. And I was asking him, what is this? He said, don't bother about it. but yeah, that's him drawing the family. That's him. That's his own understanding of, you know, the way he could express what was going on. So I love that. And then we've all touched on this issue of our Father in the air, the closeness of God in prayer. Our Father in heaven. I've never really heard of that before. I've not thought of heaven in that sense, in which, you know, when he was doing the etymology, going to the Greek word, and I've never really conceptualized it like that. So I found that really helpful. But there are many other scriptures that speaks to that. Philippians 4:5-6, let your moderation be known to all men. God is at hand. And then verse 6, be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing, but in all things. And I've heard it's been said in a few commentaries that actually, I mean, if you take away the verses, if you take away the verse numbers, which only came a few hundred years ago, originally there were no verses. But if you read it together as it is, you discover that verse 5 and verse 6 follows on the continuum of the fact that because God is at hand, you can then be anxious for nothing, because God is near, because God is always with you, is always present. So therefore, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, you can make your request known unto God. So God is ever so close, ever so close. And I really, really do love that point. And then this issue around hallowed be your name. Oh my goodness, what a beautiful way to sum that up as well. And I like this quote that he makes. It's not even a quote, it just came off in his speech, in John Macomber's speech, when he said the first goal of prayer is to enter into the beauty of God. Like, when you can begin to understand that this Father I'm talking to is not just sitting on one chair, the way sometimes I picture God on a throne. And what is a throne? One wooden, well-decorated chair that is probably made of gold, and he's just sitting down there with his scepter and, you know, being God. But really, it's way more beautiful than that. It's way more beautiful than we can possibly imagine. But even in our attempt to imagine it, let's do a better job. And the more you can really visualize the glory of your Father that you're speaking to, that this is not just, you know, like the traditional kings of the heart that we have known in all of their wealth. This is God, the beautiful, all-knowing, all-wise, limitless in splendor kind of God. it changes the game, really. Again, it goes back to that issue of our Father, how you see him, and how that translates into what happens when, you know, when you pray. And then, of course, lastly, in his fourth point around the issue of his will being done, that prayer drags the future age into this age, that it will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I totally resonate with that, that we are dwelling in the already and not yet. Yes, his will is being done. Christ has come. But again, we know that Christ will come again to usher in the very best of the very best. We're going to see, we're going to experience a world in which literally there are no more tears, because it's going to wipe every tears. There will be no more sorrow, no more, and all those no mores that we see in the book of Revelation, no more pain. And so we want to begin to draw a bit of that through prayer into the now. Someone is going through the pain of delay, for example. We want to withdraw some of that future reality and say, even right now, we want this pain to go. Someone is sick, and we want to experience a bit of that no more sickness that is for later. Let's draw that into the now. It's possible to do that, and we can do that through prayer. And of course, then the pre-made prayers that we've already made a point of, whether that's the Lord's Prayer, whether that is Psalm 23 or any of the Psalms, really, or whether that is you just quoting scriptures upon scriptures and using that as the basis and the language with which you communicate with God, or whether that is singing, which St. Augustine calls praying twice, or whether that is following a liturgy. A liturgy is just literally like, you know, something that has been set and written for the sake of the church, and to follow that. And one very timeless classic in that regard is the Book of Common Prayer, which I guess you could even download as an app today. And then there are many other apps. The one my wife introduced our family to not long ago was Lectio 365. And the kids have now entered into that rhythm of knowing when we do this in the evening, they know it's bedtime. It's just, it's a knowing, and we don't just go through it and read through it. In fact, the way the app is designed, you're supposed to just press play, and then those, you know, different people are saying those words to you, but we choose to read it ourselves. We choose to pause and ask the kids and ask ourselves, what does that say to you, to ensure that we are actually, our heart is in this. And if they don't know anything about it, we'll read it again and start again. And, you know, using that as a way to ground them, to groom them, to help them to also know scripture. And it's interesting, the dividends that is reaping. So that's a few things to take note of for today. We did not finish watching all of the clip, and that's okay. I'll put the link on the chat thread if you want to catch up with it. Actually, the way this was done as a resource, if you go to that website, practicing the way, I think it's called, yeah, .org. I'll post it back now because my former chat has disappeared on my end, but I'll post it for the sake of those that just joined. You can actually go on that website and sign up like a student that wants to actually dive deeply into each and every one of these, you know, prayer rhythms and prayer routines, and actually see how that works out for you. And the videos are also available on YouTube, so you can also journey through each of the sessions all over again in that regard. Any questions or additions or subtractions before we do a bit of practical of what we've shared today? Ogadami, over to you, sir.
Quick question, sir.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know if we'll be able to answer that today because I know time has gone up.
Yeah.
But I was just, one of the things I've been thinking about lately, I mean, in the father-child relationship thing,
mm-hmm.
is that do we ever grow up in the hands of the father now? I mean, just in the way we grow up physically, mm-hmm. and you would expect Samuel to do what he did,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he had grown up.
Yeah,
we grow up in the hands of God in such a way that He doesn't expect us to do some things yeah. any longer.
Yeah.
You know, in the way the scripture also says of eating meat and I mean, being fed with meat and milk and all of that. You know, so that sincerely in the last 1 week or so, that has been something on my mind, you know, maybe because of something I'm going through. Yeah. So that's something I would not mind if we can chat on, but maybe not today.
Yeah, I mean, just to offer a quick thoughts, but I mean, something I think we should dwell on maybe at the next meeting as well, would be to say, on the one hand, I mean, both realities are biblically taught, the reality of spiritual growth. We are all supposed to grow spiritually. Paul was lamenting over the Corinthian church that by now you should be teachers, but I still have to take you through all these fundamental principles. The writer of Hebrews was literally saying the same thing at the end of chapter 5 into chapter 6. Let's go on to perfection. Let's go on to the perfect one. Let's mature to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And that would mean that we take on higher responsibilities in things, our higher understanding. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought, I spoke, I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. All of that is a given. But also on the flip side of that is that God does not have grandchildren. I mean, the day the Holy Spirit brought that reality to my heart, it made me know that on the one hand, there are certain to a certain extent, I can't possibly outgrow ever seeing dad as my dad. I'm talking of God in this case. He would always be my father. He will always be my daddy. He will always be the one I can do what Samuel did to me a while ago, whatever my age is literally in life, and whatever heights I've reached in spiritual matters. And so he's always going to be happy to pamper us in that sense and take us. But again, on the flip side of, you know, service and being responsible and being a blessing to others, for the sake of edifying the body of Christ, we need to mature, we need to grow. But maturity doesn't mean to stop being a child of God. In real life, we stop doing some things, but in spiritual realities, this family is one family. Jesus will continue to be our big brother. God will continue to be our dad. And every other person in between, no matter how old or young they are, will continue to be our brothers and sisters. And so, I mean, he doesn't have any grandchildren. We are all his children in that sense. And I think we should be able to own that and to know that and to know that he can't frown on, you know. I mean, of course, there is a loving way that your father would tell you, hey, that's enough. Grow up, you know. And he does that sometimes in certain areas of our lives. You're asking him for something again and again. Paul kept going back 3 times about the thorn in his flesh. He kept getting the same response. My grace is sufficient for you. It's a loving way to say, grow up. I'm not taking this away. Wake up to that reality and let's move on with it. But it doesn't change, you know, this image of God as glorious as he is and also as loving as he is. It's a difficult balance to strike, but I believe that's exactly where the tension of, you know, flourishing as a disciple of Jesus really lies. He's our Father forever, and we are his children. But we want to mature in terms of our maturity is not so much for ourselves. It's especially for the sake of being a blessing to others. But as far as your personal relationship with God is concerned, I think you can continue to see him as your Father that loves you and sings over you. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Our time is fast spent, but that's supposed to be a brief thought on that, but I hope that we'll be able to pick it up and even dig deeper into that in our subsequent meeting. Thank you so very much for coming, for staying. We've gone like 8 minutes extra, apologies for that, but I want us to put this into practice. I mean, if we had seen the video to the very end, Sister Damola, are you raising your hand? All right, okay. If we had watched the video to the very end, we would have seen that, you know, there are suggestions as to how you can take this further going on into your week. And the fact that we're not meeting again till sometime next month, we have a long time to actually hone this, begin to, I don't know which aspect of this you want to actually cultivate between now and our next meeting, but try it. Try it. Try prayer like this. Try disabusing your mind on learning some of the things that you have thought this is how it has to be, and then begin to experiment with some of these thoughts, begin to experiment with the thought of the fact that God is ever so near. How would that change the way you pray? Begin to experiment with the thought that he's your dad. How would that change the way you talk to him? Begin to experiment with the thought that he's majestic. How would that change the way you pray? And then the fact that, you know, you can actually reach out into the reality of things to come, the perfect kingdom, and draw some of those realities into your present situation, whatever that is, and begin to see how prayer can literally make a difference. So I will leave that with us. If you want to see tips and suggestions as to how that can, what that can look like, visit that website, practicingtheway.org. There are quite a number of suggestions and tips that they've put there. There's even a guide you can download as a PDF or print out and follow through, all for free. So thank you very much. I want us to just spend these last few seconds together and talk to God. But this time, don't just do it because Kolaola said, talk to God. Talk to him as though, express what you are taking away from this meeting. And if you have the time, apply that to something that is going on in your world right now. So if you want to express your thoughts, your emotions, your desires, feel free to do that. Or if you just want to bask in this new reality, perhaps, or a renewed understanding of the daddiness of God and the beauty of his majesty, feel free to do that as well. I'll give us about 30 seconds, and then I would invite bro, Mr. J, to say a word of prayer as we close. Madam Milari, are you able to pray for us? Oshura?
Yes, sir.
All right, go on, sir.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you, Father, for showing us indeed again that you love us so much. We are your children and would continue to be your children. That we do not grow up in your hands, not for you to love us any longer, or not for you not to be able to cuddle us. We know that you still want us to speak our minds, be as free as possible with you, chat with you, not just when we have needs, but even when we just want to say that we love you, just when we want to say, thank you, Lord. Just when we want to say, God, okay, yeah, this has happened, but we know you are still around. You are always around. You're always in the air. Daddy, we love you. We thank you so much for these reminders. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, because from this moment, we would even take better care, better, you know, would want to look, I mean, take more cognizance of you being in the air. We want to take more cognizance of it. We want to feel you more. We want to understand the fact that we have a Father that owns the whole world, that created everything and everything, and that can do anything that he wants to do at any time that he wants to do it. We want to take hold of that opportunity more from this moment. We pray, Daddy, that the grace, O Lord, to do so, you will give unto each and every one of us, that from this moment on, our rate of chatting with you, talking with you, discussing with you, referencing you, will go off the roof. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.